Podtacular Episode 285 World of Halo 4 Campaign for April 26th.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, G. Lewis.
I'm your co-host, Dappling.
And this week, we're talking about the Halo 4 campaign.
Woohoo!
Last week, or actually the last week and a half, has been a lot of Halo 4 multiplayer information that's come out in Game Informer. And this past Monday, as we mentioned on our last show, Game Informer released some information on the Halo 4 campaign, and today we are going to talk about that and the Waypoint Bulletin that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
At least yesterday as of this recording. So, first, my birds are going to squawk like crazy. And second, Greg's back after
Yay.
2 weeks or so.
Yay!
It's only been a week.
No, it's been 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
Yep. I like to say it was physical and happy.
How have you been? Where have you been, I guess?
Do you want me to stay on the show? I'll tell you later.
Oh, wait, I mean, I know, but for the people out there, they want to know something.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gone for sad reasons. My grandmother passed away.
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. That's why I've been away, everybody. It wasn't for some secret or special thing. I guess, you know, it was special to me, but, yeah. No, I wasn't in New York playing Halo.
Like some people were today, or yesterday, sorry.
That was not me. I was busy trying to get people hotels. Anyway, I'm back.
And he's back!
Thanks for having me, everybody.
Well, you're a co-host, I don't think...
Hey, you're welcome. Being on the show is a privilege.
I mean, it's not like you were being replaced or anything, so. Is that jealousy I hear from Daft?
Not jealousy, it's implication.
What's he jealous of?
Of taking over your position.
Mine? I have a position? I thought I was just the dude who came on and made fart jokes. I didn't even know I had a position. I feel like I should wear a name tag.
Is that what you feel the term co-host is?
Greg Lewis.
Making co-host. Fart jokes.
I thought I was.
Fart joke extraordinaire. Greg Lewis performs 2 times a night.
Anyway, we got some interesting news that came out this week, ladies and germs.
Yes, we do.
Yes. You want to go over the, we'll go over the bulletin first.
We're going to go over the bulletin first.
Yeah.
So there is.
Like a segment where like, Brent comes on speed, reads the bulletin.
In his sexy announcer voice.
Yes.
Read.
And now.
The bulletin with Brent. Yeah. He's been on live a lot more recently.
Well, that's good news. I didn't even know he had live. I thought he couldn't afford it.
Oh, he might be playing like just locally with Silver Account.
I miss Brent. I'm not going to try to say that.
I thought I saw him playing Reach, so he might have gold for a little while.
Not gonna say that, like. No,
I think we all miss Brent.
I'm not sad that, you know, Daft's here instead of Brent. I just, I don't know. Brent's awesome. I've known him forever, but whatever. You guys know about.
But whatever.
I'm
gonna make him cry.
No, I'm saying we're trying to play. We're trying to go on with the show. Brent, you're awesome. If you ever want to come back, there's a seat here waiting for you.
It might not be the same seat you're used to, because Daft has taken that seat, but there's still a seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get the guest host seat now.
All right.
However, if Fumo or Jimmy...
Your way in the world today takes everything.
Oh, yeah. they definitely have first dibs, especially JVB being the podfather.
The podfather.
Almighty podfather!
We were doing podcasts before people even knew what a podcast was, bro. We've been doing this since like...
Oh, I know.
Never in a day.
I totally respect him for that.
This is your first show, right, Dustin? You never did a show other than this?
You
mean like hosted one, not like on one?
No, I don't. I think I may have guest hosted a couple, but no, this is the first show I've personally hosted, so that'd be correct.
Okay. But hopefully you guys enjoyed everything that's come out this week, and we're going to go over it for you.
Well, there's really only been two things.
Oh, yeah. You know.
So, moving on to the bulletin, which came out yesterday for us, instead of being late or being early like it has been over the past, I don't know. BS Angel's been posting on a weird schedule. It's been very unpredictable as of late.
Too busy going to PAX doing some crazy dancing with you guys.
She's all over the place.
She's busy. Jeez, she got a job to do, but you guys are always trying to dance with her and stuff.
Hey, hey, you got a problem with that?
Oh, I don't got a problem. I'm jealous. I don't know why I wasn't invited.
You could have come.
I know.
Not like you weren't invited. Trying to point the blame to me. Shame on you.
It's always Dustin's fault. For those of you who do not know, he is.
Yeah, like, I'm a good scapegoat, apparently. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm so nice.
Yes, Dustin is the nicest man on this earth. If you need a sniper rifle, I'll give it to you, I swear. He's got it.
Dustin, I'm decent with a snipe.
Saying you would give it to me.
Decent doesn't win the war, soldier.
Hey, I'm good at other things other than sniping.
Oh, okay.
That's why if there's someone else that's playing on my team that's better with the sniper, I usually do not pick it up.
AKA when Greg's on his team.
What was the last time you played Halo?
Other than the time that we played the other day. That was my brother that you were playing with.
Well, who was the guest?
My cousin.
Oh.
There were a lot of people staying at my apartment or at my townhome, whatever you want to call this place.
I thought you must have been like playing as the guest and letting one of your brothers.
No, I was actually doing laundry.
All right. So when was the last time you played Halo?
I've been playing a lot of single player. I've actually played through Reach, Halo C Anniversary and Halo 2's campaign again over the past week.
All right.
So I'm gonna go through all the campaign. I really, you know, I'm this is weird, and I never thought I would say this. I really like Reach's system after going through and playing all of them again, because people complain.
Wait, you mean multiplayer system or
just in normal gameplay? The DMR is really a handy weapon. I wish it had more ammo.
No, it's very crisp. It's very solid.
Yeah, because like the pistol in Halo 1 is nice, but it's because, you know, it's not as good as the DMR is accurate. The DMR though sucks for taking out elite shields. I would say that, you know, it's a lot easier to.
Yeah, it is.
Some Covenant gun. I've really found myself when I'm playing a different Halo game and I'm like, God dang, I wish I had DMR. Anyway, right. whatever. I've been playing through them again and I've just noticed that. So. And I think it's weird that in Halo 4 we didn't have the DMR, but it like skipped three Halo games. I don't get it. I don't know how they're gonna. I guess they're just not gonna say anything, and it just appears.
Well, no, they just. You know, they can just say, like, in Halos 1, 2, and 3, you know, whatever supply of weapons was around for Master Chief, like, the DMR just, like...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Something along those lines.
That's a good idea.
I think Daft has a good idea there.
Good idea, Daft.
Thank you.
Good idea. You get to keep your seat.
That's what they do all the time, right? Like, oh, in Reach, you know, the Covenant, like, the ships on Reach, you know, they had needle rifles, but then other ships, like, you know, elsewhere, they had the carbines later on, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and like how they didn't have the skirmishers, what happened to them? You know what the skirmishers are, right?
Skirmishers, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, weren't we speculating that they were all going to go, like, extinct during Reach or something? That's why they weren't around later?
Well, I mean, they beat us on Reach. I'm pretty sure not all of them died. But
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't read anything.
They can just use the same argument as, like, why brutes were not in Halo 1. Oh, there just weren't any brutes, like, on, you know, that particular fleet or whatever.
Oh, because
on the first Halo.
Fleets in the...
Oh, there weren't any, you know, Jackal skirmishers on, like, any of the, you know, regiments of the main trilogy games or something.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't even hear about them in the books, really, either. You hear about the engineers a little bit in the books, but actually you hear about the engineers a lot in the books.
Yeah, actually, I remember, yeah, there's engineers in the first book.
Engineers in the first book, yeah.
I don't remember. Actually, I'm almost done with the first book. I'll be done with it this weekend, so I'll be moving on to the second book.
Which is...
My goal is to read all the books before Halo 4 comes out.
Oh. My goal is to beat all the games again 3 times. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, I can do that in a week.
Well, I plan on beating them before I get invited to some VIP events, which I'm pretty sure is going to happen because I'm pretty VIP. I didn't know if you guys knew that.
Are you now?
Yeah. I know a lot of people. I'm just kidding. I don't really know.
Via proxy? Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, I used to know a lot of people. I don't know anybody anymore. I'm too busy with working. So. Actually, you know, I come think about it, I don't know anybody who's anybody in the Halo. It was weird going on the Sparkcast with you guys because they were like, who's this guy? And I'm like, the fuck? How do you guys not know who I am? I remember when I used to go on any podcast back in the day, it was just like, oh, yeah, it's Greg.
It's a new world. Anyway. Everyone still knows Fumo and JBB, though.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't know the Podfather and Fumo Jiva? Who doesn't know who they are? Jeez. If you don't know who Fumo is, go back and down and listen to all the 182 episodes they did.
158.
Listen to all of them. Especially the ones I was on.
Which were what? The 30s through 50s or something?
I was on a lot of them. I think my first one was, it was after.
Weren't you on like a block of them? And then you were like scattered through the rest?
Yeah. I was on for one, because I used to record the whole week in one day, and I was on for a whole.
Oh, yeah. So that was like that episode 30 through 50 block.
Yeah.
55.
I think somebody else was on it, but I remember, you thought the one with Bernie was long? Dude, we recorded it all. It was basically the whole day.
But we did we did one show that long. You guys multiple shows. That's different.
Well, it was
that's
just
different.
Because like we really did it for like 10 hours. I was like, I didn't. You guys think it's inconvenient for us to get 1 hour out of the day to do this? Think about getting 10 hours. It's ridiculous. But
well, this is more like 2 hours after everything's said.
Oh, well, it's also
done from pre-show and whatnot.
Now everybody has a podcast now. Back in the day when Fumo was like a pioneer of this crap. You know?
Hey, it's not crap.
No, okay. Of this medium, of this art.
Just saying, watch your mouth, boy. He'll come back and bite you in the butt.
No, I meant like, I didn't mean it was, I don't mean to disrespect, I'm sorry. If it's...
The first show you were on was episode 42.
Yeah, Greg, you are being a little blasphemous right now.
Daft is going to request to take my seat over. Is that what you're trying to do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the ground of seditious comments about, you know, the founders of the establishment.
I didn't say anything bad. I meant, anyway, I don't think we should go over this on the show. I think
I'm confused now. Anyways, so the first thing on the Halo Bulletin for this week is that 343 has released a premium theme from the Halo 4 concept art.
And it looks fantastic.
It looks pretty nice. I am tempted to download it, although...
I'm probably going to buy it.
I'm not quite sure yet.
It's cheap. It's only what? No, what was that? $250 or something?
$240 points, which is $3.
Yeah, come on, guys. Come on. Everybody, let's just donate $1 to Dustin. Everybody, the first $3. Towards his new Halo theme. You guys bought me all the updates for Halo 3, so I'm pretty sure we can scrape together $3.
Heck, we bought a 360 for Fumo. Although that was a different time, pretty much. That was when the community was a lot more involved.
1,000 people listening to this dang thing.
Yeah. We're lucky to get that.
I think I gave $75 to that. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Hey, man, you know.
Game Changers, did they make their goal?
No, they didn't. I think they got around 12,000 and then it kind of just stopped.
Yeah. You know, when your forum is comprised of, what, like 10 to 15, let's say 12 to like 20-something year olds.
Yeah, right? Below, under 21.
Your national trust is going to be a little, scarce, depleted.
I'm not really too worried about it. I mean, we pretty much do this for, you know, for fun.
I mean, the listener base is definitely diverse because, I mean, we have lots of different people listening to it. But in terms of the forums... Yeah, the forums are a completely separate entity from the podcast.
It's just because, like, you can get to the podcast so many different ways. Like, you basically don't even have to go to our website, you can get it.
Yeah. Just of course, considering Mitt Romney listens to us, so we should get a lot of money from him.
Mitt Romney?
You know, some of that, some of those Bain Capital.
Spectacular, now endorsed by Republican candidate Mick Romney.
Yeah.
If he gave us a couple thousand bucks,
that's not true, by the way.
I'd say I'd vote for him.
Like I said, we are propped up by TARP Fund, which is the Republican Party itself.
No, no.
We are funded by Republican Party boosters.
No, we're not.
I never got into this TARP money.
We're funded by donations, and that's it.
You're funded
by Republican boosters, donations.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Are you bashing your own party?
No, anyway. I'm. Have I said the one negative thing about the Republican boosters? If anything, I'm endorsing them.
Okay, okay. I thought you were saying something. I didn't know where you were going with that. I'm sorry. But once again, I redact my statement.
Mm. Mm, I mean, Mitt Romney gave us like millions to the Mormon church. He can give a couple million to us, right?
I think we should go for tens before we go for million.
You in politics.
Wouldn't that be weird if we had a presidential campaign ad on podcast? I mean, it would get out to a couple thousand people. What we got, like 15,000 people that listen to?
No. Our average is still about 2,500.
I mixed up the zeros.
yeah, you mixed up some zeros.
I say 15. I mean, I don't know if that's worth 10 bucks, but I'm pretty sure that's worth 10 bucks.
No, we're ad-free.
So that's why you go on the forums and you see, come buy this Chinese wedding dress. Right? my advertisement made up of broken English.
Yeah, that's
been a big problem. Those advertisements are not endorsed by Podtacker.
I need to get the new forums done.
Done. Yeah, I mean, spring break is almost over, right? So
Justin doesn't have spring break. He works for the government.
Yeah, I don't have. And I've been working extra hours this week.
But, oh, that's cool. There's a lot of extra stuff that basically there's nothing new came out of this bulletin except for what Dustin already mentioned.
A theme.
Yeah, everything else is kind of like clarification points, and I'm really personally happy, and I know some people really didn't care, but I think it's cool that they came out and said that the weapon drops, basically this is what they said. They said can be considered not at all random. Which is nice.
Yeah.
You can make it to that.
Well, that's in the part that we're actually going to read off.
Sorry. You go ahead and read.
We'll take this as like it's a submission, and we'll just read each of us read the section. So 343 put together a nice condensed version of all the information that came out
from Weapon Drops to Spartan Hops. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You go ahead and read the first one.
So. This is basically a wrap-up and clarifications of everything that was revealed through Game Informer for the last week and a half.
For those of you
most of this was already clarified in the Sparkcast, but for those of you who don't listen to the Sparkcast, this is for you. This is kind of the wrapped-up version. So as far as weapon drops go, from the bulletin, traditionally power weapons spawn at set locations on a map. After looking at what has worked in the past and what we wanted to change for the future, we decided to build a new weapon spawning system from the ground up for Halo 4. Our primary goal was to make the system accessible to both new and returning Halo players, and also to make it fit within the context of Infinity, a massive vessel that is the new home of Halo multiplayer. Initial weapon spawns happen at the beginning of the match. After that, timers are set for when they drop in. And subtle UI elements communicate the time and destination of their impending arrival. Drops will be appropriate for each map. For instance, long-range weapon drops, i.e. sniper rifles, are likely to occur on large maps, while close-range weapons, i.e. shotguns, are likely to occur in tight-quarter maps. There are two important things to note about weapon drops. You'll have the ability to customize ordnance in custom games, and not at all random is a more accurate descriptor than random.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say about that is I'm pretty sure that they're going to have it in Forge, but is there going to be a way where we can just put weapons down on the map and do
it? Yeah, there's still going to be ways that you can set weapon spawns.
When I was reading different people's take of playing Halo the past couple days, they've said they don't see any... Okay, they're not sure because they're not really told so much. They're really just playing the game that if somebody dropped the weapons or whatnot, but they don't really notice that any of them are actually on the map already.
What, you mean in Reach?
Yeah, in Halo 4, how they've been playing over the weekend.
Okay. In
New York, a lot of people have been saying that they haven't really noticed any weapons that are on the map that aren't by the weapon drop system. That just aren't, you know, just not a DMR over here on the left, always in the same spot. That's what I was wondering, if they're gonna have an ability in Forge where you can just drop weapons here and it's always gonna spawn there.
Like, I'm pretty sure there is.
Yeah.
I think they've pretty much said that in the Sparkcast.
Sparkcast. Okay. Well, I'll read the next one. This next one is entitled "The Player Spawn System." You value. Okay. You cool?
Yeah. Oh. I was just me.
Okay. Yes, Greg knows how to read. Evaluating the average number of living
players. I wasn't doubting your reading ability.
Players on the map at a time, how long it takes to see an opponent, how quickly you can get back into action after dying. The length of time you're dead versus the length of time you're alive, and overall expected the span. The spans were all things were considered when determining the player spawn system in Halo 4. Ultimately, we opted to give players freedom over this feature. So in certain modes, not all of them, players can control the timing for when they spawn. That means that when you die, you can choose to spawn immediately, take a short breather to select your loadout, or plan your next strategy based on how the game is going. Objective game types use specialty-tuned spawn timers that are designed
especially
to suit game length and object respawn times and scoring. Just like weapon drops, you'll be able to tweak or turn off these settings in custom game. See, the only problem that I'm pretty sure is not an actual problem I've just heard people talk about is if you're winning, could you just not spawn?
I'm assuming there's a spawn.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah, they wouldn't make a
spawn. Guarantee you it's like, okay, you're dead, and you'll see like the timer like 3, 2, 1, 0.
Right.
And like once it hits 0, you'll spawn like you would in previous Halo games, but if you want to spawn before the timer ends, just press the, you know, whatever button.
Yeah.
Probably.
Most likely. Because it might be more than 3 seconds, because you know how when you're doing invasion, that you can cycle between people to spawn on, and there's that initial countdown? I'm betting what happens that if you're still choosing an armor ability, you'll have a little bit extra time. And once you select that armor ability, you'll spawn. Or not armor ability, loadout. So you probably have that 3 seconds, and then it'll probably give you a buffer of 2 or something.
It just sounds a lot like
choosing
Battlefield.
Well, Battlefield, you could not deploy at all.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why some people have brought it up that they've thought that, you know, does this
I do not think they're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't believe that that's
good. There's likely a set hard limit on the time.
Yeah, I just realized how much 343's website looks like podtacker.com. I just realized that. Podtacker.com's been a website for a long time.
Anyway, sorry. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure how long we've had this theme.
We've had it since before 343 website.
I guess there's actually quite a few differences, but
yeah,
there are definitely
general good color scheme.
Yeah, there are a lot of color schemes that are blue and dark. Yeah. I've noticed, but so player spawns. Think of it as an additional option to spawn instantly, not anything that's really changing the system of spawning in Halo.
I don't think it's gonna be as drastic as everybody thinks.
It's not. It's gonna speed up like Slayer game types.
I really only play objective games unless I'm playing MLG anyway, so this isn't really gonna concern me.
So, all right, Sprint Daft.
Sprint. Wait, you want me to read this like straight, like for word for word?
That's what we've been doing.
This is a free country.
Just making sure. The decisions people make in matchmaking give us an invaluable amount of information about both the game and various gameplay elements. The information we gleaned from Reach allowed us to learn a lot of lessons from armor abilities. That and the balancing we've done with the sandbox led us to make the decision that everyone will have a sprint in Halo 4, meaning you will no longer have to choose between base mobility and an extra ability. Oh, that rhymes. Oh-ho. The levels in Halo 4 are designed for this faster mobility. Perhaps they're bigger than? I don't know. You're continually driven right back into the action, not away from it. You can try to use sprint to flee combat, but you're not likely to be successful because everyone else will have it too, thus ensuring someone will be right on your tail shooting your back while you attempt to escape. Well, will they be really able to run and shoot at the same time? I doubt that.
Well, it's going to be two different buttons, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm probably causing your untimely demise. Thanks for that optimistic viewpoint, 343. So it's also worth mentioning that just because everybody has sprint, base movement is not slow. If you're familiar with previous Halo games, we looked at the speed and mobility of Halo 3 as the inspiration for Halo 4.
So basically, just it sounds to me like they just looked at what loadout people chose a lot in Reach.
Yeah.
Well, sprint is a pretty standard loadout, and as they're saying in the...
I would use armor lock if I didn't want to be called a noob. But
I would say having sprint as standard fare would be... Like, just them just basically trying to be a modern FPS at this point. Like sprint. You know?
It's just, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense in Halo. I don't know. Whenever I'm playing
Halo... Well, then Frankie does not agree with you because they said on the podcast that as a Spartan, you should be able to sprint. You're a superhuman soldier.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not trying to say that in the context of the lore. I'm just speaking about gameplay. I'm not trying to say lore.
Greg, your mic is quiet.
In lore, I don't disagree.
You mean realism?
Yes. Realistically, yes, a Spartan should be able to run faster than everybody else.
Faster.
Strong. Gameplay, I don't like the idea of sprint. It doesn't seem to work for me. I use it, but I guess it is habit. I don't really ever use it.
It works in just about every other FPS. I don't see why they wouldn't put it in here. To be honest.
Not really any other first person shooter that I play really has like random weapon drop, weapons everywhere. It's different. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be as weird. Like, I'm not gonna say personally for me. It just feels weird to me. I'm not gonna say it's a bad game. It's probably like I said with everything else. It's not gonna. All these little things are not really gonna impact the game where it's gonna break it. It's just adding something different.
Right. Moving on, Forerunner Vision.
This sounds.
This
awesome.
Is the new armor ability for Halo 4. Forerunner Vision, one of the armor abilities that... Well, okay. Wow, I basically almost said that verbatim. One of the armor abilities that will debut in Halo 4 is still being tweaked, so I'm going to keep the details light today. While it's being described as letting you see through walls, it's more accurate to refer it as sonar, where it sweeps out from its origin point to detect surrounding objects. As with all armor abilities, it has trade-offs. There's a delay before you get the knowledge of where other players are located. Situational awareness is affected by the visual treatment of the mode. In its current iteration, it can be best described as shimmery. And other players within range receive auditory cues when you activate it, so they will know when you are peeking. We'll share more about this armor ability and others in the month leading up to launch.
This just sounds too much like it's going to be the new armor lock, but
Why would it be the new armor lock?
Because people are just gonna find out reasons to complain about it. I don't hate armor lock. I like it. I would use it if I wasn't called a noob.
Well, the thing with armor lock is that it just stops gameplay. This doesn't really stop.
Well, he means it's gonna be the new obnoxious armor ability.
If you're gonna be running like forward and then you're gonna hear the whatever noise it's gonna make, you're gonna stop.
Like camo. Someone using camo, but with the radar jammed, you can still shoot them too.
Suppose that's true. Because supposedly when I was reading this with somebody else, they say when you first turn it on, it kind of blinds you for the first couple seconds. So that may be one of the ways.
I'm thinking Splinter Cell almost.
I'm thinking the ODST night vision. Except you can't see through walls.
You can't see through walls.
I think a more recent really good example would be the current Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Future Soldier multiplayer beta going on right now. Which is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, plug.
If you're
that money.
If you what you can do is the engineer class in the beta has a stun gun, like a taser. you stun someone, they fall down, you can like hack into their data, and so you can get like the enemy team like all on your map. And besides that, it also shows each of them as like a red silhouette, even like behind walls and stuff. So like your team knows where they all are.
That's pretty awesome.
And so isn't that overpowered or anything in that game? So I mean, it should be fine in Halo probably.
Well, I find in one thing that in Halo, it matters less to know where they're at, because like in Battlefield, once you or Call of Duty, once you know where they're at, that's about half the battle is figuring out where they're at. In Halo, it's not really as much knowing, because you pretty much can already kind of tell where people are generally going to be. And kind of already be prepared for it.
I don't know. A lot of MLG and competitive is always knowing where your enemy is, where your enemy is going to spawn, what weapons are where.
In general terms, you know where they're at. Like, you know they're in the shotgun room. I mean, you don't really. It's helpful when people call it out, but 99% of the time, if you play Halo a lot, you already know that in general terms where most of the team is at without having to have 10 people screaming at you the whole time. In Forward Division, I think it's going to be cool. I'm very anxious to actually try it out myself, because it just sounds like something that's going to be useful, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be more like a teammate thing about how somebody can use it. You're the teammate. You can call them out and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what's cool about it. I don't think it's going to be more like an individual thing.
We'll see how it works.
Yeah. The last thing that they're talking about is probably my. The thing I'm most hyped for, I guess I should say, and that's going to be about Spartan Ops. And what they wrote was, one of the biggest changes we've made to multiplayer is making story an integral part of the experience. Our new Halo 4 cooperative mode, called Spartan Ops, is an ambitious example of that. I guess it's going to be way different than Spec Ops, guys. Ambitious, all right? If you're a fan of Firefight, we anticipate you'll enjoy this objective-based multiplayer mode. Along with introducing an ongoing CG series, does that mean like cutscenes?
Most likely, yeah.
That will tell a story over the course of a season. Spartan Ops will also give you the opportunity to play weekly missions that relate to that fiction. This mode will provide an outlet once you complete the campaign to further the story past the game's end. Spartan Ops is part of the Halo 4 package, i.e., it's not paid DLC. I don't know why every time I read about this, it makes me think about Shishka, but it just seemed like this is the kind of stuff that he was doing. Like, because when he was at Bungie, he was kind of like the guy in charge of like figuring out what the correct me if I'm wrong, but like the challenges. The daily challenges.
He ran the challenges.
Every time I read this, I always think that, you know, I'm pretty sure Shishka, this was his idea.
Possibly.
We need to ask
him. Wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Yeah, it just sounds like that this would be, every time I read this, I always think about him. I don't know why. But anyway. Is that it?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it, yeah. And then they're playing this.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Well, we're not done with the show.
Podtacular. Reads through the Halo Reach discussion.
One big change for a playlist, we'll hit the playlist real quick, is Zero Bloom Slayer is now gone. So the only Zero Bloom that we're going to have is MLG.
I mean, I'm not going to say this is bad. It kind of
makes sense. I don't think it's bad, but
that the people that want to play Zero Bloom are the people in MLG. I mean, really, if you want to play Zero Bloom, most of the people that are doing that are going to be able to find a custom game anyway. I personally don't play it. I'm not gonna say that it's bad. I don't know. I just play Team Slayer.
You know, it's all right. You know, it's like you know, there was somewhat of a fan base around it, like a little bit, but I didn't think it'll be missed extraordinarily. You know, it was okay. It was kind of fun, but it was nothing special either.
I just want to see what it would be like in TV. That's what I'm really interested in seeing. Of course, we found that out playing custom games, but anyway.
What about BTB?
Zero Bloom BTB. I think that'd be fun.
No, that'd be annoying, because then you get like cross mapped on like Hemorrhage and whatever VMR. Yeah. That'd be ridiculously annoying.
Yeah, annoying. That would be more like Halo 2. What are you talking about?
Nobody wants to play that.
I would.
I wouldn't. No, not. How would it be more like Halo 2?
Because you could do that in Halo 2. I mean, the VR, you could pretty much shoot anybody from on headlong from the other side of the map. Doesn't mean you have to do it.
Maybe you could, I guess. Not with the spread.
I mean, I was.
And not with the.
I'm not trying to say I'm better than
the hit detection
people,
that was there.
That was a possibility. Very highly likely possibility of happening.
I mean, anything's a possibility if you think about it.
Yeah, I could do it. Anyway.
All right. Updated maps to most of the playlists. Some changes in Firefight. That's about it.
Yeah, there's not too much else other than that. No. That's really going to be, you know, newsworthy. If you're going to see it, I mean, you can read about it, but that's really the stuff that you're going to need to know about what's going on with Halo 4.
Right.
I mean, really, so, they changed it. All the things they changed are just small. Like, they added new maps.
But they're all actually taking community feedback. So
they actually added a lot.
Really like that they're still maintaining Reach's matchmaking. You know, even with Halo 4 on the horizon, they're still trying to, you know, keep Reach fresh for the time being. I like that.
Yeah, they're listening to the people on the forums. They're paying attention to the stats they're receiving, on which playlists are getting attention.
Well, I guess one big thing that they did say that I guess we didn't go over was Team Objective. They kind of made it you get more credits if you win, basically. So before, it was kind of just based upon your performance in the game. But now you're going to get more if you actually win the game. They didn't really say you're going to get double, but it kind of seems like you might get double if you win.
Huh. All right. Interesting.
That's what I took from it.
Custom challenge of the week is 1,500 headshots and firefight matchmaking.
Oh, that'll you could do that. Shit.
Well, that takes, if you're doing Gruntpocalypse, it's 120 per firefight.
You could do that in a day.
Yeah, you could. But that's
Skulltross.
What, 13 games?
I mean, that's if 14, they're all headshots. I would just say
13 games. Yeah.
Say 15 to be straight.
It's 13.
Well, that's if you didn't miss any.
Well, that's giving you a buffer. That's giving you a buffer of 60.
I forgot we're talking about Dustin here.
Anyways,
he doesn't miss.
Create that custom challenge, and you will get. Create that custom challenge, complete it, and then you will receive a bonus of 15,000 credits.
Build it, and they will come.
Indeed. Now on to what should have been the bulk of the show, but we talked about the bulletin a lot, is the Game Informer article that came out Monday titled The World of Halo 4.
I'm just tired of reading Game Informer because they don't know anything about Halo. It's just, you can just tell.
Well, they're the ones that got the exclusive.
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, anything bad about, you know, you gave it the Game Informer, so I'm just saying that whoever is writing this, just, you know, it's just it's causing more trouble than it's actually helping. It's cool, you know. We get random weapon spawns. Awesome. Don't just say that's the only way you get it. That's the way they made it seem like.
This is what Frankie said on the podcast, is that a lot of the things that got written in the magazine that came out for the May issue that features Halo 4. Is not worded in the ways that people are wording it elsewhere. So random weapon drops is the big example that he gave that wasn't used specifically. And someone else went on and posted it somewhere as they interpreted it as random weapon drops. So make sure what you're reading is actually Game Informer stuff before you're just talking about what you're hearing people say. And that's one of the things as gamers that a lot of people are just going to get wrapped up in, is the whole interpretation of things and trying to associate it with other features in other games. And Call of Duty's definitely been one of those big comparison games because it's one of the other big shooters out there. Exactly. So they're going to try to find as many similarities and possibly name them as such.
I don't know about you, but every time I look at Infinity, I just want to be on that damn ship. That thing.
That ship is pretty massive. For those of you who don't know, Infinity is the multiplayer hub that we will have in Halo 4.
It has a lot of, like, Forerunner-esque look to it. It doesn't, I mean.
Well,
It looks like a human ship. I'm pretty sure it'll look more human when you get up close to it, but just looking at it from these pictures, it looks...
Well, if you read the description that it has, it says that the ship has a lot of technology that was envisioned of the Covenant, and the Covenant stuff was actually inspired by the Forerunners as well, if you read the books, I think. So there, you're going to see some...
A lot of the Covenant ships down, stolen, which is like...
Right.
Forerunner ships just chilling in it.
So if you look... If you're on this article, if you look at the picture and there's a ship that's right below it, that almost looks like a carrier. Or, no, not a cruiser, sorry. Not carrier.
What do you mean?
But like Covenant cruiser.
Oh, a Covenant cruiser. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's
I look Covenant too, but it's definitely, it has to be human.
It is human, but it looks like a Covenant cruiser.
Yeah, but how it's like, it flares out in the middle, kind of like a Covenant cruiser does.
Right, and it has a little bulbous thing on the front.
You think they got glassing abilities? I mean, it works. Why the heck not? I mean, if it's the most powerful weapon in the world, why not use it?
Well, they didn't necessarily say it was a weapon.
I'm more interested in why in the world we're fighting Covenant again. Anyway. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, it's traditional in Halo.
I guess that's true. That's a good answer.
It's like a staple of Halo at this point. You know, fans are so used to it.
Well, there's Covenant remnants too, which are probably... I'm betting one of the things is that the Covenant found the beacon before the humans did. I'm guessing.
Well, who is the Covenant? The Covenant isn't even the Covenant anymore. You think it's going to be called something different?
Just because we defeated Truth on the ring and most of the Covenant was shaken about it doesn't mean there's going to be small factions still left over.
Aren't the books, though, pretty much that occur after the new Forerunner books, pretty much just saying that these guys are not really banding together, and especially the elites. That's what I'm surprised about, is the elites fighting us.
Well, the most recent book in terms of a timeline that we have is Ghosts of Onyx, right?
Oh, Glasslands.
Glassland was after?
I'm pretty sure. Because Ghost of Onyx is...
I thought these three books that have come out are supposed to be pre-Halo era, like Forerunner, Precursor stuff.
You want? Oh, I thought you meant like the most recent. Because Ghost of Onyx is in the middle of Halo 2.
In lore timeline, Ghost of Onyx is the most recent.
No. Ghost of Onyx is during Halo 2. Glasslands is like after Halo 3.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, it talks about like UNSC and like elite relations after Halo 3.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah, Glowish Onyx I think is like right during the climax of Halo 2, like right when the Dreadnought reaches Earth or something. Okay. I think.
Thanks for clarifying.
Well, there's two different I guess kind of books going on. There's also the one written by that lady, which I forget her name, Karen Travis.
Karen Travis. Yeah.
I don't really know when that's coming out.
But Karen Travis wrote Glasslands.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't she writing The Thursday War? It's not out yet.
I have no idea what that is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But yeah, the Glasslands definitely is it's after
post-war. All right. So that's the book that would glean a lot more information on why there's still Covenant, if there is Covenant.
Look, here's the idea, listeners. You want a little insight on the Forerunner aspect of Halo 4, go read Cryptum and Primordium. Yeah. You want...
Oh, it's,
you
know, Cryptum. That's okay.
Yeah, Cryptum and Primordium.
That's the book I was thinking of, not
Glass. Yeah, you want more insight on like the UNSC and the elites relationship and those kind of that situation, then go read Glasslands.
Heck, I'm reading all the books.
Justin's on book one.
Well, I'm rereading, okay? I've read it before, but I'm rereading so I can get a full storyline kind of developed in my head before Halo 4 comes out. Because there have been people that have complained that we do a Halo podcast and we're not up on the Halo fiction in terms of the books, so I'm reading the books. You happy, people?
Yes, ODST EJY is happy now.
Really, I think that in Glasslands, you know, the start of the book is basically the end of Onyx, where they're still talking. The Spartans that survived in Halsey are just, they're like wondering how the Human Covenant War is going and if they're winning. You know, if they are winning, what happened, and if Chief saved them, blah, 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 blah. Kind of makes me think that we might run into them. So I don't think – I personally would be would like to see other Spartans and Chief in the next trilogy.
I would say that's almost a must.
Yeah, with so many other ones, I mean, I think that we're going to run into them eventually.
I mean, heck, the world in here might be somehow tied to the S.H.I.E.L.D. world that's in Ghost of Onyx. There's been a lot of speculation on that. So we don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, we don't exactly know. But, I mean, at the start of Glasslands, that's how it starts out.
I mean, the Dyson Sphere the Chief is headed for might be the same one as the Ghost of Onyx. Or even if it is a different one, they could all be linked with the network.
Yeah, there's just some
network of teleportation or something, right?
Right, and granted, I haven't read the book, so I don't know about this too much. And if Grimm's listening to this, he's probably yelling at his MP3 player right now. But there is a possibility that these are somehow linked together, and there's some slipspace properties that can allow for having this one world connected to multiple S.H.I.E.L.D. world things. So I have to read more up on it. But if you guys have anything to comment about it, you can always send us an email and help clarify things.
On Glasslands? Or just in the story in general? Because, I mean, it just seems like...
No, just like about what we're talking about.
Look, in Glasslands,
what their thoughts on are the possibilities of these two S.H.I.E.L.D. worlds connected.
Okay.
Or anything else that they want to talk about Halo Fiction.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense on how... It's like in Glasslands, there's kind of like a civil war going on within the civil war. It's going on within the Human Covenant war. It's going on. Oh, it's kind of weird. That like even though that the Covenant aren't fighting each other, the elites are also fighting each other. If you remember some of the guys from the Heretic group from Halo 2, they weren't the only really group like that. So.
It's just like all the human civil wars that we've seen throughout the books, too.
Well, obviously, people can't get along with each other of the same race.
Well, that's always going to be an issue.
Unless there's somebody else to kill. So.
Right. That's just how it is.
Always need something to kill. If you kill everything else, or kill each other. That's how it works.
So in the Game Informer article as well, we have a couple of screenshots of the new Covenant enemies. The elites look weird. Yes, great. That's a appropriate term. Weird. The grunts. Someone said they look like turtles.
I think that was me.
Was it you?
Yeah, I think like a week ago.
I think someone else said that too. That
they look like turtles. I don't know. Like they're not cute anymore. They definitely look more gruesome.
They look like something that would like bite your hand off.
Yeah, they look like something you would just be like if you saw that thing come off and like okay, let's say we meet real aliens, right? Okay, so we meet some real life aliens and they look like these guys. We're gonna be like, what the?
Well, there's actually a thread about this on the forums about the new look of the grunts, and let's see. Mick J1 says the grunt looks like the Rancor from Return of the Jedi.
It does. I remember reading that before.
The Rancor.
And ODSDJY says they now look like blanking, disgusting looking piles of blank.
What?
I don't think it looks bad. I mean,
they look like bleeping, disgusting piles of bleep.
Huh. All right.
Mr. Pickle 001 says. Looks like the head of a shark.
It does. I mean, you can tell there's a lot of aquatic stuff going on in here. Turtles, sharks, you know. Definitely the scales, and by the way, his face looks like it's, you know, it looks like a shark's face, how it's coming together. And like a turtle's face, you know, how like triangles
definitely
out.
Definitely a different visual style than what we've seen from Bungie.
Oh, heck yeah. You can see, this is a lot more realistic. Yes. Yes.
I mean, they look well done. I'll say that much. They just look very different.
If I could speculate or comment on this Elite, where are the mandibles on his mouth? I don't get it. It just doesn't.
His armor's covering it. Looks like.
Well, yeah. Okay, so
on this one,
head down, it looks like an Elite. Just the head looks all weird. I don't know. And I thought they used to have five fingers. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but they only have four.
No, they've always had four. Okay. They've had, because when they grab the plasma rifle, there's always the two on top and the two on the bottom. So, that hasn't changed. The armor looks.
Definitely looks cool though.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like there's less the armor covers than in previous ones. I guess not really. It's really only exposing his shoulders and his neck. Which I guess their neck isn't really that important. You gotta cover those shins, but that neck, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the neck. You're good.
Well, the neck has to be flexible. So I don't know.
I guess the grunts are exposing their neck too.
So. You're really quiet again, Greg.
The only reason why the grunts are even wearing anything is just because they have to breathe methane. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. The armor looks very light this time compared to the armor that we've seen from the past Halo games. There doesn't seem to be as much.
Usually all decked out and everything.
And now there's not as much. I don't know why that is.
I mean, there's going to be different levels of them, of course. There's going to be the zealot leets and whatnot.
Yeah. I still find it interesting that we're still getting strictly concept art stuff on these screens. Except of course, for like the two models that we just saw, the Elite and
Brad. Those don't look...
I mean, aside from those, all we're getting is concept art.
They look dang good, though. That's all.
They look really good, but that doesn't tell us the graphical detail of what we're actually going to see in-game. Because concept art can look pretty, but compared to computer graphics, there can be a significant difference. So I'm hoping sooner rather than later we start seeing some in-game computer gaming graphics.
We will. I mean, at E3, they're definitely going to drop something.
Well, E3 is still 2 months away.
I am in no rush. If they need to take the time, take the time.
Yeah, seriously, I'm in no rush either. I got literally at least 20 games I haven't even beaten yet. I haven't even played yet. I'm not in a rush for you to take your time, right?
Right.
So I'm just looking around. I mean, you can definitely see there's banshees in these pictures. There's jackals.
I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to associate them with Bungie too much, because Bungie never released this much concept art that I can remember.
Well, this ain't Bungie. But
this is, yeah, that's true. This ain't Bungie.
This one picture with the warthog, it reminds me a lot of Halo Wars. Hold on.
The one that's right above the Requiem section?
Yeah, hold on. I gotta go. Mute my mic.
All right. Awkward. So, there's quite a few concept arts on here, and they actually make for some pretty great backgrounds. IGN has a bigger collection of them. I don't know exactly where you can, if there's a link to them all, but I know there's a Halo 4 section that you can download a lot of these, and you can use a lot of them as wallpapers. So going from the top,
my computer's desktop wallpaper is actually one of the concept art pieces for, was it Warhouse? Yeah, I think it was Warhouse.
Uh huh.
It's like it's the one where it's like in space. There's some like big like structure and floating in space. I guess it's the warehouse itself or something. And there's like a pelican in space, like I guess going into a hangar or something. Have you seen that one? It was one of the recent bulletins a couple weeks ago. I think it was the bulletin where they talked specifically about warehouse. Yeah.
All right, that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a few weeks ago.
I probably wouldn't have remembered that well.
Looks pretty sweet.
I'm sure it does. So let's start from the top of this article real quick, since I know you want to get off soon, but let's take some time to at least talk about this for a little bit.
Okay.
So Halo 4 is as we know, it's 5 years after the events of Halo 3, and Cortana is on the verge of losing her mind or going rampant for AIs. So one of the things that they mentioned is that there's going to be a big play between the Chief and Cortana as she's slowly starting to degrade, and since they're on this new world that they have no idea what's in here. This is a shield world situation that we see in Ghost of Onyx, and the planet that's contained inside is called Requiem.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting name.
So, the Fort of Dawn is falling towards the outer shell of this shield world, and once it eventually passes through, they liken the events to what we saw in Halo 1 when we crash-landed onto Halo for the first time. So there's probably going to be a lot of similar gameplay elements that we'll see in there as Chief is wandering around just exploring. So I'm guessing if 343 is really invested in any kind of exploratory missions or objectives, that we'll see a lot of them here. And I would almost go to say we'll see similar type of things happen in the Spartan Ops missions. Because having this whole open world mentality, there's a lot of stuff that you can do in terms of having side objectives and missions.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, the Spartan Ops missions, they can just have simple missions, you know, go in here, kill a bunch of guys and get out. They could, like, have, you know, capture some data core. They could, you know, have you defend a base or, you know, defend some extraction point, like, from waves, like, therefore, like, the firefight fans are, like, accommodated, etc.
Right. So, apparently, Requiem is an artificial world.
Right.
Created by the Forerunners.
Right.
So, from when, I guess that's what all the pillars are for. Although I'm
watch, they look like they're floating, right?
Well, there's a piece in here, and so this is in the Requiem section. It says, take a closer look at the art, and you can see that the pillar-like objects are actually hanging from above. So oh, okay. The outer shell of the shield world is actually having these pillars come down, which makes me wonder how big are these pillars and how close is the outer shell to the shield world.
Probably, like, enormous.
So that's pretty freaking huge.
Yeah.
And what do these pillars even do is another big question.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be a structural thing. I mean, it might not be super significant. But I think, didn't they say, I'm pretty sure they said in the Game Informer article that when you're in the shield world, when you look up, it's like you see, like, the ceiling up there. It's pretty high up, but it's, you know, gigantic ceiling. I think with, like, maybe I think there's supposed to be, like, stalagmites or stalactites on it. Although I'm not sure on that. Maybe
stalag.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Stalactite.
Because if you're on the shell, I'm assuming there's gravity there. It would be stalagmites, but if you're looking at it from that actual world part of it, it'd be stalactites.
Yes. So.
I think that's what
you read what I wrote.
Yeah, okay. We're finishing up. So there's another picture that we have here that is rumored to be some kind of sarcophagus or storage chamber that's at the bottom. If you guys are looking at it, the bottom of the first page.
Oh, okay. That's like a forerunner. Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks like a big. It looks like actually a gigantic.
Like a coffin.
A cryopod.
Yeah, cryo chamber.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's we don't know what's going to be in there. I'm assuming that it might be one of the key characters that's in the books that have come out recently.
Forerunner are that big, or there's more than one person?
It could be a person. It could be something else. Heck, it could be the Flood even. if you want to go that far.
Human installation. I'm pretty sure if they knew it was the Flood, they wouldn't be like, hell no, I'm nuking that thing from orbit.
Well, you never know.
10 Mac rounds in that thing right now.
You're really quiet, Greg, by the way.
Oh. Sorry.
But we don't know what it is. And we probably won't figure out how to open it until later in the game or later in the trilogy. So all we can do is just speculate until either 343 tells us something about it or the game comes out.
Who knows? We may never even see this thing again.
We might not. Although, if they're putting concept art about it, there's definitely some significance about it.
Yeah.
And it could be... I thought it would be some kind of ship of some kind, like a transport or possibly an escape pod that got captured by the shield world and got brought back down. So it could be a number of things with how it's designed.
I think it's cool that we're going to have a lot of Forerunner stuff going on. We'll probably learn a lot about them, maybe even some about, you know, humanity.
Yeah.
We are the Reclaimers.
Indeed we are. There's another section in here that's near the end of the article talking about how the environment is going to seem more alive and the Forerunner artifacts are going to be more active than we've seen them in previous Halo games. So I don't know if that's going to be as a result of, since we are the Reclaimers, if it's our presence there, or if no one's been here for so long, and since we've come back, now things are starting to ramp up again. And what does that mean in terms of what's happening on Requiem? Is there's got to be some kind of other plot line here that's going to take place that's specific to either the Forerunners or the technology that's somehow hidden on this planet or the Shield World. To be more specific, it also says in here, Requiem is a special variation on the Forerunner Shield World. Among other things, Shield Worlds were constructed by Forerunners as places that would remain safe from the Halo Pulse. So, we don't know. I don't know what a special variation of a Forerunner Shield World would be. If the main purpose of a Shield World.
Extra cupcakes. The other one.
If the main purpose of a Shield World is to just protect beings from the Halo Pulse. Maybe there's an archive of some kind of the Forerunners hidden here. There's a lot to speculate.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that they're basically trying to get across that, hey, we're getting in depth in this. Get ready for it. You know, if you were just thinking that we were going to half-ass this thing, you guys were wrong. So, just going out there to tell you, hey guys, we're actually kicking butt at this, so.
Right.
Stop freaking out.
I think the information that got released over these last 2 weeks has definitely reassured a lot of people. Okay. And hopefully it'll bring some people back to Halo. As far as the campaign goes, there's still a lot of information out there that we don't know of. And it seems that they're letting more multiplayer information out than they are letting information out about the campaign. Because the only stuff that we've heard about the campaign is this article, some of the screenshots that or some of the video clips that we saw in the Halo first look with Master Chief.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's just because of what they are planning to do down the line. I'm pretty sure at E3 will be a lot of campaign stuff. They're gonna show something in the keynote that's gonna be campaign related.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure we'll get a significant chunk of each little piece that's going into Halo. And it'll be just enough for us to whet our appetites, but not completely feel satisfied. So, 343.
Feel satisfied on November 6th. It's all right.
343, keep doing a good job.
Invite us to VIP parties.
Yeah, concept art looks nice.
Yeah, VIP parties would be nice.
Justin lives in Washington, D.C., just so you guys know, it's about 2 hours away.
2.5.
A.K.A. he can get there damn quick. What's ETA? Damn quick.
What's that from?
That's from Halo.
Oh, that's right. Sarge says that.
I said 3.
ETA, damn quick. Damn pie for pickup. Forgot about that line. All right.
Anywho.
So if you have any comments about the article or anything about the campaign or the books, Yes, and I know we're not quite as qualified as some other people, but we do know qualified people.
Are Dustin's awesome sniping abilities?
I don't know what you've seen so far, but my sniping abilities aren't that awesome. So
anyway,
decent doesn't win the war, soldier.
I know you said that earlier. You don't need to remind me again.
Yeah.
If you have any comments, go ahead and send them to submissions@pottacular.com, or you can use the green button on the homepage of our site, which is at pottacular.com.
Imagine that.
I know, really? You can also call in to our new voicemail, which is 206-339-6937. Again, sorry, no fancy acronyms. We had to get a new number because our old one expired. But we still got your messages. We played some on the last show. And you can, if you want your voice heard, you can do that as an alternative to sending in a submission via email. And while you're on our website, go ahead and check out the forums. We have an active user base, probably about somewhere between 50 and 75 people, just talking about little things here and there. So the new forums.
More politics, other big games coming out this year.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Max Payne 3. Far Cry 3. Bioshock Infinite. Medal of Honor World Fighter.
Farmville 2.
I don't know what that is.
That's just me.
Oh, beta forums. Sorry.
Transformer.
I don't know about you, but that Ghost Recon game looks friggin' sweet. So anybody who wants
it to... It is sweet. The multiplayer beta is sweet.
The only games that are really on my radar right now are Assassin's Creed 3, Borderlands 2, and Halo 4. Oh, and Black Ops 2. Sorry.
Black Ops 2. Oh, yeah, they got that reveal coming up on May 1st or whatever, right?
Friday.
I thought it was May. Is it May 1st?
I've heard May 1st. I've heard May 2nd. I don't know.
It'll come out within the next week, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
I heard a rumor that it was actually going to be in the future, because I think there was like some video. You guys know that guy FPS Russia?
Yes.
On YouTube, who does the gun stuff.
Yep.
There, one of his videos, I think, was on the Call of Duty site, I heard, and it was like him showing off some like drone turret that's like still kind of like prototype stages, but it could be near future warfare. So I mean, it could still be Black Ops 2, but just like, you know, like Black Ops in the future, like behind the scenes stuff in the future. Maybe play as like the main character of Black Ops 1 was the Alex Mason guy. Maybe play as like his grandson or something. I don't know. I mean, just, you know, speculation.
I thought I heard somewhere that it's basically going to be along the same time frame.
Yeah, well, Call of Duty Contemporary Combat, 70s,
We'll see what happens with that.
I actually heard some take place in Rome.
The beta forums are still up. They'll be up, as far as I know, for 2 weeks, and then my server is actually getting moved up here to me since I have fast internets that can serve it now. So in about 2 weeks, the beta server will probably go down. Hopefully by then I have something suitable that I can set up and replace the forums that we currently have. If not, then, well, I need to get my act together. get my stuff going. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter. We are at PodTackler. Go figure. And you can find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/podtacular.
Oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Although, since I am rarely on Facebook, I honestly don't update it as much.
I haven't been on Facebook in like 2 years.
So, sorry, Facebook crowd. There's not as much of an effort to keep you guys up to date. I think the shows get auto-posted over there via the FeedBurner feed. So you get those, but other than that, we don't do anything special with Facebook. Facebook, in my opinion, was a fad, and now it's just oversaturated. So, honestly, don't care about that much anymore. But Twitter, we're going strong on Twitter. And that's I believe, a wrap for our show. I don't know if we're doing a show next Monday. We'll see if more information comes out between here and then. We might just do one show next week. We'll have to see what happens. But come about the middle of May to the end of May, we'll pick up the two shows a week again, and we'll have some special guests on. And we'll look to get some of the forum members back on the show as well. I know some of you guys have been wondering when that's going to happen. Summer is the time that's going to happen.
Summertime.
Because that way we have a little bit more flexibility to get people scheduled with not having to worry about school schedules and studying. Although it doesn't really matter for Greg and me since we're out of school.
Yeah. What?
But for the rest of you, which are most of our members are younger and still in school, we'll get you on the show at some point. So, that's it. Peace. Keep on firing trucks.
See ya.